Hey, this is Claire Linda, and you're listening to Made of Fail.
I'm done with the new music.
Hip hoppity wop bop.
Made of Fail.
We were unpopular before it was cool.
Come on, let's get this gay show on the gay road.
Back off, man. I'm a scientist. It makes sense now.
Yeah, it's all falling into place. Of course, that place is nowhere near this place.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Made a Fail. I am Dana.
I'm George.
And we have the most wonderful of guests. Say hello to returning Cleo Linda. I'm still not talking about Twilight, goddammit, Jones.
Hey, guys.
Our returning champion.
Victory lap.
How you doing, Cleo?
Well, since they caught the Boston Marathon terrorist, I think we're all doing pretty good.
Well, we're gonna cover this.
So basically, right. Before, ladies and gentlemen, this week is, oh my God, what is this? I don't even.
Yeah, when we're gonna get to the relentlessly bleak portion of the show in a minute. But two things. Number one, today is our dear editor Devin's birthday, so I would like us to sing, if that's quite all right.
Could have warned us.
Yeah, I know. But it wouldn't have been near as funny.
Hello, everybody. It's the birthday boy. While I appreciate the sentiment, happy birthday is still under copyright, so I'd rather not get sued. Besides, do you really want to hear George sing?
Leo, you did not sing.
I lost the lyrics at a certain point.
You lost the lyrics to Happy Birthday.
Well, that wasn't the song I was singing.
I
took it to the bridge and dropped it in the water, okay? Like,
fuck. All right.
Do we want to try that one again?
No. We'll just take the little gold star with Comic Sans on it. Try it. I don't think you're even trying at all. Other thing is Made of Fail's very own Weston. Probably by the time this gets posted, is going to have a baby pop out of his girlfriend. Kudos. Maybe not so much pop as, you know, be delivered in agonizing blood and gut. That's so fucking metal, childbirth, man. Rawr! Pain and death and guts and blood and metal. What? You're all like staring at me from over there,
shaking my head.
What? I don't have any social skills whatsoever. I think I was trying to say congratulations and it came out really.
There we go. Yeah, congratulations.
I don't know how to people anymore. I've been pretty withdrawn, actually. Let's start getting into this. So, it's been a week. It's been a hell of a week.
Yeah. The fuck, yo?
The fuck happened to this week? Well, Boston Marathon got bombed. Mm-hmm. And, that was coming off the heel. You know, it feels weird, like, because the day it happened, somebody, and I don't remember who, somebody somewhere said, like, just think, yesterday the worst thing that was going on was some teenager said something stupid at the Anne Frank house.
Yeah. Someone else today was saying, you know, when an Elvis impersonator trying to kill the president was the least interesting thing that happened this week.
Wait, what?
You didn't hear about this?
You know I've taken, like, a sabbatical from social media.
Yeah. No. I didn't realize how. Yeah.
They sent. Everybody's fine. They sent letters with rice and poison to a senator and to Obama, but it's not like they give them the mail and they just open it. I mean,
right?
They have an offsite sorting facility and they were like, hey guys, I think there's something on the letter. And so they traced it back to this guy in Mississippi and.
Because of course.
I forget his exact name, so I won't say it and get it wrong. And, but he was like, he would sign his letters like, this is, I'm JC and I approve this message. I mean, so he had like a thing, and then they found a guy whose initials were JC, and he was an Elvis
impersonator. Jesus, you have let me down.
For the last time. No, and the senator he sent him to was like, oh yeah, I hired him for a party. He was really fun. Like, that's a quote. I saw that. He was like, yeah, I remember him. So, that wasn't even the biggest thing at all that happened.
No, because that's pretty epic failure on that score.
How do you not think that the worst you're going to do is poison a mailman?
Because Mississippi.
Because Mississippi.
Trust me, I live there. It's not that hard to figure out.
So,
not saying they're all, you know, idiots.
So here's what happened is the Boston Marathon got bombed a couple of times. And within like 30 seconds, out came the dickheads.
Yeah.
Like, in like the biggest rush I've seen in like 10 years. And they couldn't get, like, within, I think, what was it, like 2 or 3 minutes, there was like a fake Boston Marathon Twitter.
Yeah.
Trying to collect donations. Like, who the fuck even? So that's what we're talking about today. We're going to, because I think everybody's feeling it. Like, basically everywhere I was going was just so much fucking negativity. It's like somebody would show me like one good thing that happened, and then there would be like three more things about, like, you know, and then there's this asshole. And I'm having a hard time coping with it.
If it wasn't for, like, people like Patton Oswalt, who were pointing out the good that humanity was doing at that point, and pointing out that, you know, there were people running from the marathon 2 miles to the hospital to donate blood.
And running towards the blast, yeah.
Running towards the blast to help out, you know. I don't think I would have been able to take it either, but there's a small segment of the internet population that is intrinsically positive, and we so very much appreciate you guys.
But
please do not leave us.
But in the same breath, there's stories about, like, you know, police were arresting, you know, all the brown people that were running away from the blast, because that's suspicious to run away from a bomb, I guess. The fuck?
I didn't really hear about that so much at the time. The other really great thing was that apparently, you know, 3 people died at the scene. Everyone else they took to the hospitals lived. Every single person, even with the amputations, every single person. That's how great the Boston hospitals were. When I started to see the fail set in was yesterday, last night, when they when they put out pictures of the guys, you know, and they're on Fox News is the default in my house. This is not my fault.
My fucking God, I am so sorry.
I know.
Don't,
right?
You mean Fox quote, you know, news unquote?
Yeah. See, Shepard Smith is the only thing that keeps me sane. I love Shep. Shep is he's like a mole. Like, they haven't quite realized yet that he's like a closet liberal.
I don't watch TV to the extent where the only thing I see is, like, Jon Stewart on Tumblr. And that's how I find things out.
Yeah.
This is the guy who called out Ralph Nader to his face on TV and was like, I think it was because Ralph Nader had called Obama an Uncle Tom, and he...
Oh!
Quotes-
that is the second fucking time this week.
And this was months ago, and, you know, he's got Ralph Nader, you know, on the other side of the screen. He's like, Ralph Nader, what was that? It was like just the most awesome thing. I love Shep. So he was covering it part of the day. But when they didn't have him on, it was like they started describing the guys as dark skinned. And I'm like, as someone on Twitter put it, they're from the Caucasus region. They literally could not be more Caucasian.
Yes.
They literally could not be, you know? And it was once they had the suspects and put their pictures up that people really started being shitty. And, you know, at least at that point, the false flag people, you could probably carpet bomb the false flag tag not miss could anybody.
We? Yeah, except that, you know, somebody CNN, who apparently, according to Ann Coulter, surprise, surprise, had the best coverage.
Of course they did. I think it was Joel Watson who draws hijinks and Sue who's making fun of CNN's coverage because he was like, and over here, we see a tree and another tree and a dog. The dog is barking. And now we're going to cut to a man who saw a car once near Boston. You know, shit like that.
Yeah, CNN was not doing a great job.
CNN literally said, we hear a dog barking. We don't know what that is. It is
Wait,
a dog.
That wasn't sarcasm?
No.
What?
The part about the dog was legit. He was like, it may or may not be a canine unit. We are not sure. It is a dog. I mean, that happened.
I need a minute. I literally thought he was kidding.
No. Mm-hmm. He was exaggerating, not kidding.
I know. That's like the direct quote. That's exactly what he said. Oh my god. So
yeah, that was real.
That was special.
You got Jesus Christ. So you got this shit. You got I learned a lot of things this week about my family.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Worst part is I think some of them listen to this, so I would apologize in advance, but I'm not really sorry.
And also, she's probably already told you how she feels, so you should know this is coming.
A lot of them are just fucking idiots. Okay, I have been on this rant. My dad got to be racist twice this week. And yelled, racist once and politically stupid another time. He fucking, the marathon gets bombed, he goes to Facebook, and he's like, oh, and look at this, the government wants to take away our guns? Screw that. Okay, look. My father's never been in the military. He did, in fact, like, just barely get away from it. Like, the draft stopped the day before, you know, he was gonna get drafted, right? Like, Vietnam. He doesn't own a gun. He probably could not own a gun, because he's on medication for depression, and he's been seeing therapists like half his adult life for anger management. And I called his ass out for being totally non-classy and using a horrific tragedy to spout just unrelated political bullshit. And I went on this rant about it on my live journal, and I friends locked it because I had to talk some shit out. But I actually legitimately linked his response to shit that went down in Warcraft. And it sounds stupid. It sounds stupid when I say it like that. But no. Check this guy. Check this shit out, right? Like, this was like Monday night, right? This is before all the shit went down. So I was, like, pissed off about this back then. There's this guy who comes into the raid and he starts calling us. Yeah, there's a really difficult mechanic with one of the bosses. It's like this maze and nobody can fucking see shit because it's like purple on top of purple, right? So this guy keeps calling us noobs and fails and dumbasses and assholes and bullied two tanks, like, right the fuck out of the raid. And you know, oh, what a cock shit. So I said, you know, I'm like, okay, well, here's a helpful suggestion instead of being a shit cock. If the raid leader can mark you with the star and you think you know this maze so well, feel free to guide us. And then, of course, he died because he didn't know what the fuck he was doing. So this is why it's relevant. Because when shit is going down and people are confused and they're frustrated and they don't know what they're doing, it's not the time to fucking run around like an asshole blaming everybody else for things that are going wrong. It's the same thing between LFR and real life. And I just fucking, instead of just being like an asshole and like blaming, you know, other people that you don't even know what's going on, find out what you can do to help. Like, don't talk shit unless you can back it up with something, you know? Fucking donate blood or something, or find out if the Red Cross needs anything instead of just sitting there, like, you know, blaming government or you know, ethnic people. Non-Americans. None of us are fucking real Americans unless you're, like, you know, Native American first tribe shit like that. So what the fuck ever.
Someone said really interesting. I want to say it was Mighty God King, his blog.
And was it the False Flag blog? Because I have that, like, open in a tab.
Yeah, it was the part where he said okay. It's basically a way of making someone else's tragedy about you.
Yes, 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 yes. I'm going to quote that because I've got this open. He goes, "False flaggers don't care because their theories aren't about logic or reason or anything at all. Their theories are about making tragedies that happen to other people about them. It's a fundamentally narcissistic response to tragedy to not only ask, how does this affect me, but to twist the facts of the event to create a narrative so that you are more likely to be affected. It's an asshole move, and false flaggers deserve to be treated like assholes because they're assholes." End quote. Boom. That was pretty awesome. Like, he laid that shit down. And then I find out my fucking roommate, this is fantastic, right? They're talking about, like, when they identified the suspects. I was going out in the living room, I was telling her, yeah, they identified the suspects. I can English. And she's like, yeah, but you know, the government's probably behind this. And I just, like, that's when my brain just kind of turned itself off. She's like, they did this just like they did 9/11. It's the beginning of the end. And I'm like, holy fucking shit. George, did you not see the restraint that it took me not to, like, just strangle her instead of just calling it bullshit to her face and walking away?
Yeah.
It's all this shit I didn't know about people, you know, like my dad all of a sudden is super, like, and he got super racist about something else this week. I let him have it, and then, well, that pissed him off, let me tell you. I'm not going to compromise my moral values because it inconveniences you or irritates you because you've been having a bad day. It doesn't excuse, like, blatant racism. It just pisses me off to see all these people come out of the woodwork, people that I knew and people that, you know, I live with or I'm related to or my friends, family. And it's just over and over again. And finally, I'm just like, I'm just shutting down my fucking Facebook. I can't fucking handle this shit.
I don't get on Facebook. I don't deal with it. I tell people, you know, I know there's events in your life that I'm going to have to check on it to make sure. You know, when are you having that baby? Oh, you know, I need to look for that. But no, other than that, I'm not. Mm-mm.
It was to keep track of my family and what they're doing. And finally, I decided, no, you know what? They can call me. And I don't care, because aside from, like, my oldest niece and my little sister, everybody fucking else, man.
And her daughter.
Everybody fucking else. Just. And my four-year-old niece, because she's not old enough to be stupid yet.
And in fact, is pretty much Dana at age four.
Shut up. No, I was pretty stupid cool. When I was a kid.
Nah.
I peaked when I was four, too. I was adorable back then, too, goddamn, and then look what happened.
For the record, I met Dana's youngest niece when she was, what, two?
Ah, I don't know.
It was a couple of years ago.
God, have you really been living here for a couple of years?
Yes.
That is freaking me the shit out, man.
So, probably about a year and a half ago, then.
Getting old. Stop. And,
Jesus Christ, this kid was 2 and a half?
Yeah.
Could read? Could write a little bit? Speak in complete sentences?
Is it your niece? Because...
No, that was Ella.
Genius, I'm sitting here making fun of you like you're all proud of her and whatever.
No, I've never seen a kid like this before. I've never seen child genius before. It's
well, you grew up where? Florida?
Yeah, there you go.
I just
saw a kid stab, so.
Yeah, it's and plus I've been having, like, I had one guy who's in my guild just giving me, harassing me over some stupid thing over and over again, even though I've asked him to stop, and he's like, no, that's censorship. And I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ. Censorship is something that the government does. It's not me asking you to respect my feelings by not talking shit about this thing in front of me where I can see. It makes me not want to log on.
Do not get me started on people who... Oh my God.
No,
let's get you started.
Yeah. Stop respecting my feelings as, you know, a human being and a teammate. You know, it's just like any other sports team. You know, we do stuff together. We're, you know, to accomplish things. It's, you know, we're, I don't know. So it's just been, I'm gonna get to you, Cleo. Clearly we didn't really have a plan for this show, okay? We just need to get this shit out here.
Yeah, it's...
How do we deal? Like, all this shit's going down, everyone's exposed to this negativity, and I want to know, how do we all cope with this in healthy ways that don't involve, you know, nuking your social media or getting into fights over stupid shit?
Well, as Kevin is fond of saying, never read the second half of the the bottom half of the internet.
Yeah, but what if it's the top half of the internet that's pissing you off?
That is a problem.
This is the issue we're having.
Well, what? Censorship. From a blogger moderator point of view, What I love is when people try to pull that. I don't know that anybody's ever pulled it on me, because I would know exactly what to tell them. I hate it when they go over to comment sections and they're like, you can't delete my comment. You have to let me say what I think. And, you know, which is, I mean, okay. But then what comes out of their mouth is like that macro of the dog with the hose in his face, the sprinkler, and it just says wargarble.
You need to send that to me, because I think we've just found the header image for this episode.
Yes.
Basically, and so, which I love that, but basically that is my idea of the troll, the one who just wargarble, and they insist that they have the right to reply with their wargarble, and I'm like, you know what? I'm not the U.S. government. I don't have to do shit for you. Sorry. And you have the right to speak, I guess, but you don't have the right to make people listen to you.
Oh, that's beautiful.
If you want to go get yourself a Twitter, a Facebook, a WordPress blog, a live journal, whatever you want to get, and you go say it over there, that is fine. You do not have to say it.
My territory, right? Yeah.
You do not get to take my megaphone away. But that's the thing. They also know that if they go wherever, no one's going to follow them and listen to them. Nobody gives a shit. They want to say it in the front yard of the person that people do give a shit about hearing. Whoever's blog is currently, you know, whoever is currently speaking. And that's whenever they just bring up censorship, I just kind of start, you know, going, oh, blogger, please shut them down. You know what to say? Please shut them down. You know what to say? I'll tell you what to say.
That woman who did that thing about sexism in video games, and then she got like a zillion. Yeah. And then she got like a zillion fucking rape threats, and then she shut down comments on her YouTube page, and everybody's like, oh, you're too coward to listen to, you know, discussion and discourse. No, it's not about cowardice. It's she doesn't want to fucking hear the same bullshit that she's been hearing for the past several years that just proved her goddamn point. Nobody on the internet owes you an audience.
Someone came up with something this week. I hope I can find it. It's somebody's law. And it's basically the comments at the end of any article about feminism will prove why we need feminism. And that is basically what happened with Anita Sarkeesian, like, right there.
It's been that a lot, too, lately. It's not just political shit. It's fucking misogynistic shit just all over the place. Like, just the other day, there was some fucking, Republican guy who was all like, he referred to women as vaginas. And then he was all like, well, if the word vagina offends you, maybe you need to rethink your priorities. And I'm just like, the fuck?
was like 10 points for rhetorical maneuver. That was, you're an asshole. That was beautiful.
I can't. This has all been happening so much, so fast, and it's piling on, and I'm not reacting to it very well. I have lost a great deal of faith in humanity. I've spent a ton of time crying this week.
Aww.
A lot of it. Because I'm so frustrated with the government and just society in general. And I keep trying to find good, and then there's like 20 other things that drown it out, and I'm just like, I'm trying to tell myself I'm just going to take a sabbatical from Twitter, from the news, from Tumblr, even though it's got adorable cats on it, and I really need more adorable cats. You know, nuked the Facebook, and I feel really good about that.
Well,
although apparently it doesn't delete your account, though. Because my dad tried to send me something. He texts me and he's like, "You fucking blocked me?" No. I got rid of it. I deactivated it. I don't know how to permanently delete it. I could probably look that up, and I probably should look that up, to be honest with you. Because that place is the fucking Mos Eisley Cantina, I swear to God. Without the good music. My mother is a 13-year-old girl on Facebook. She is. She posts all these awful things. Just, she sounds like the same. She posts the same kind of things that my 13-year-old niece does. Like, 13. I was just like, "Mother, you're a 13-year-old girl," and then a 13-year-old girl proved my point. You know. And I'm like, I can't get into this. I just, every time I'd log on, I'd get more and more increasingly annoyed. And I don't think I should call her out, but one of my friends posted a picture that she saw, she lives around here, of this sign on the causeway on Tuesday. It's, it's a major roadway down here. And it said, "Bless you, Boston." And everyone was like, "Oh, that's nice." And then this one fucking cunt joins in. And she's all like, you know, "Well, prayer doesn't do anything. The only person it makes feel better is the person who's saying it and doesn't do jack shit."
Oh,
I was just like, fuck you. Fuck you for coming in and shitting in the Cheerios, you know? Does positive thinking do jack shit for anybody? Well, it's a nice sentiment, you know? No, it doesn't, like, bring the dead back to life or, you know, unamputate limbs or whatever. But it's somebody trying to spread a positive vibe, you know what I mean? Like, to show that there's caring. Like, when Katrina happened, and, you know, I didn't see any money from the Red Cross. I got some from FEMA. But, you know, All this shit going around, all this, you know, I didn't get, like, things, but there was just this outpouring of love from other cities and other countries, and it did help. It did personally help. So, you know, it's just bullshit to go on to say, you know, "Well, don't even bother trying to do something nice for anybody because it doesn't really help if they don't get anything out of it." Fuck you. You know, fuck you through the roof. It's just some person's always, I don't understand the mentality of these people. And I told you about, we were going to do this episode, and you said, "Oh, I've got this thing about trolls."
Yeah, I have several things about trolls, actually, yeah.
The mentality, people have actually studied the mentality of the troll, and I am fascinated by this. So, George, you got to hear this, because she found, like, Cleo, just dive right into it, because trying to understand the mentality of the troll is dangerous ground, but somebody tread it.
Yeah, I mean, people have actually started to do studies on this, and it's so interesting to me, because I feel better after reading people talk about why they personally troll, because they're still shitty people, I guess, but it gave me a better context for who is on the other side of the screen. And I mean, I can't speak for guys who get trolled, but for women, when somebody says, you know, I hope you die and I hope somebody rapes you and I'm going to come get you, there's a part of your mind that goes, I wonder if he means it. You know? And
yeah. Because there's that small percentage of people who actually do mean it.
And it's...
I'm not going to say it. I was about to say it ruins it for the rest of the trolls who don't mean it, but fuck that. Really? Dana, were you really going there? No. No, it's unacceptable no matter what.
Well, and someone, this is on the news.com.au link, but they talked to three different people, and I think the one that really hit home with me when I saved this, you know, however many months ago, someone named Ben, who says, it just makes me happy when I can make someone angry. It sounds weird, but I kind of feed off their anger. The angrier I can get them, the better I feel.
Yes, yes! Bring your rage to bear! Try to strike me down! Your rage sustains me.
Basically, the better I feel. I'd feel responsible, but I wouldn't care. I've pretty much lost all hope for humanity anyway. I don't believe that anything can save people. Okay, number one, that's really sad. This guy has bigger problems than I do at this point, if that's really how he feels about things. Number two, whatever he's saying to people, he doesn't, you can't take it at face. He's not actually going to come rape you. He's just some sad kid who, and I don't mean sad like...
But you don't know that.
You don't. You can't know that. I mean, you do kind of have to, in the back of your mind, go, well, I have to, you know, be careful and take care of things. But I have to be, you know, as safe as I can be. But it just took a huge weight off my mind to go... to see this kind of thing over and over in several different articles I read, where people would just say, to me, getting a reaction was the win. Upsetting people, which is shitty. It is shitty.
That upsets me even more. To know that they are trying.
Well, but then here's the thing. Well, and you said to me, you know, you deal pretty well with this. I'm like, well, I've been on this live journal, God help me, for literally 10 years now, as of this October.
You've gotten a lot of trolls over the years, and you know when to walk the fuck away.
I really haven't. I mean, I've really...
Really? Because I've noticed that you take, like, these live journal sabbaticals, these Twitter sabbaticals, to just, you know, decompress and do your thing and do your writing and get away from people.
That's... I mean, there's two different things there. One is that, you know, you were saying you were having a really hard time. My grandmother passed away late last month.
And I'm so sorry for that.
Thank you. But it just, I needed a couple of weeks off the internet. Because being on Twitter, I love it, but it makes me anxious. Just having all of people's, all of these thoughts and opinions, and there's just so much that comes at you. Even if it's not negative, it just makes you anxious and just kind of drags you down.
I didn't think agoraphobia could transfer over to the internet, but lo and behold...
Lo and behold, which I don't actually even have in real life. I know. Well, but then that might be part of it. But whenever I'm trying to write, it's more that sense of my energy being drained. And so I'm just like, okay, this is what I was saying about filters. I have like different levels of filters where it's like only movie news. Okay. And then it's like movie news and people I know. And then there's also a separate one for just people I know. And then there's a just news filter. So when the Boston thing started happening, I had the news only filter up so I could just see, you know, the plot points and not listen to people yammering about false flags and brown people. God bless. Half this country's terrible.
And you're in Alabama, God help you.
Yeah, I know, right? So, I was not going on Facebook. There were things about my family I didn't want to know. If they were, I don't want to know. I don't even want to know.
I didn't either. I found out anyway.
Yeah. So that was, you know, that was my theory. But I have to take a lot of time off because it just makes me anxious. And I just took a lot of time off from LiveJournal. And I don't regret having taken that time off because I am kind of back now a little bit. I hate that I had to, but I don't regret having done it because I just didn't have the whatever to deal with that and trying to get other things done. And you have to you know, prioritize. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, I think you do need to kind of hang out away from Twitter for a while if that is what will make you feel better. But
yeah, that's where I envy you, because you seem to have that mental cue. You have the timer that beeps in your head going, okay, I'm done, and this is, you know, I need to stop. I have, like, this horrible incapability of just walking away from shit.
See, I need to give a seminar on this. I've been so fortunate, though. I have never had, you know, knock on wood, because as sure as I say this, I'm going to have people, you know, like, challenge accepted. I've never had really horrible trolling. And I don't know if that's because, like, people are scared of me for some reason. I don't know if they're just scared of my Galadriel icons or what, but they'll be like, oh no, oh no, she's coming to purple. You're going to make her mad. Oh my God. And I'm like, what? What have I ever done to you people? Oh my God.
Have you ever gotten, like,
when has this ever happened? I don't know. But apparently,
I've seen shit in your personal life where you should have blown the fuck up. And lady, you're not going to do it over the internet.
Yeah. So I've just been really fortunate, but it may be because I shut things down very, very quickly, and people are like, "Oh shit, here she comes." I mean, they just know it's going to get shut down, and I don't know if that. If setting that tone has just made people know this is a safe space where we can talk, and we know that she's going to patrol that border, and therefore we're also not going to try anything stupid. But like, John Scalzi is very open about how he has the mallet of loving correction, and he will delete your comment. He will send you to the cornfield. He does not care.
Hold on. I've never heard such a beautiful word for the banhammer ever.
The mallet of loving correction, yes.
That sounds like the best band name ever.
And over at Making Light, they have Teresa Nielsen Hayden has disemvoweling, which is she can go in and edit your comments, and she just takes all the vowels out. So that if you...
Didn't John Scalzi also do the thing called kittening, where they just, like, changed the comments to sound like they're just talking about adorable kittens or something?
I think he does that, too. I think he does.
That's beautiful.
See, I can't do any of that. I mean, I just go, I mean, I guess technically I could think of something to...
Well, you can't do it on LiveJournal. I mean, you can right. just delete the comment, but...
I could have a banhammer kind of thing, but I mean, I can't actually go in and disembowel, which makes me so sad. I would love to do that. But no, it's just the reason I'm talking about why trolls would want to do this is because when you know what they want is a reaction, they are not frothing sociopaths who legitimately might come to your house and kill you. They are really just assholes who are talking shit to see if they can get you upset. You sit there and you go, okay, thank you, come again, nice day, ban. Mm-hmm. Done.
But see, I get exposed to that, like, out of the three of us, I would say arguably more than you, Cleo.
Oh, blah.
Just because of Warcraft.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. 1,000 times more.
And it's I mean, I ignore people really fast. I, you know, turn off trade chat. But, you know, there was one guy who was trying to troll me today, and I just ignored the shit out of him, you know, did not react. But it's like, even if you ignore them, and even if you pretend they're not talking, the feeling, the vibe, the negativity... I still
the bad energy. It's
yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, it's the bad energy, and even when you know
from it and stressed from it.
See that I wasn't even sure if y'all would necessarily understand that, or anybody else I was talking to about this. Even if you can kind of go through individual insults and be like, "Well, I know I'm not stupid. Well, ugly. I don't think so. Who cares? Fat. Yeah. What about it?" I mean. You just still kind of go, but I feel that bad energy coming at me. Even if the words don't mean anything to you, it's just like, ew, just could you get that off me? Why did you do
this,
that?
This troll wasn't even like, I mean, he wasn't even, he couldn't even try. Like, he was all like, you don't know anything, Warlock. You don't even know what to do right. And somebody posted a recount meter, and I was doing, like, top damage in the whole dungeon. But, you know, I don't even know what I'm doing. apparently. Yeah, okay.
You remember my favorite
next try,
troll.
Kid. I hope he doesn't sit down for too long, because that stick up his ass is going to chafe after a while. God, I wish I'd said that.
Wait, you remember my favorite troll, right? The one
Cleo Loinda? Or Cleo Loinda? Which way would you prefer to pronounce it?
You know, not everybody gets their own customized porn star name.
we couldn't decide whether it was a porn star name or if you wanted to pronounce it in, like, flowing Elvish.
Clear low window with a little umlaut over the eye. Clear low window. Like, I honestly think that might have kind of hurt me in that bad energy sense, except that they misspelled my name. Because, recap, you know, their username was Clear Loinda is Gay. And this was on a Twilight recap, like, weeks, months after I'd posted it. And it was all about how I was the destroyer of comedy or something. And blah, blah, blah. And the fact that they went out of their way to create a username and then didn't even spell it right
was, I know, like,
just the most joyous thing. And then someone took my little purple illustrated avatar and drew, like, a mustache and beard for an evil twin. So Clea Loinda is my evil twin, and that just seriously gave me so much joy, that entire thing. And I am sure whoever that was is just so disgusted and disappointed that, like, that's what I got out of that. Just, I still tell that story fondly. I use that icon sometimes. I love that whole thing so much. And at first, when I was telling people, I was like, you guys, this is so amazing. It sounds like one of those, the lady doth protest too much. It's like, no, no, really, I think this is fun. No, it was hilarious. And that, to me, is like the ultimate troll fail, where it actually gave the other person amusement, entertainment, joy, delight. And it just, I think I said this to you in the email to you, Dana, with the links, but, like, the reason you shut down these, you know, comment threads just quickly and you go, that's great, if you guys want to have this conversation somewhere else, we're not having it here, thank you, come again, is that if people get irrationally or recreationally compelled to oppose people, you have to have something to oppose. If I take away the other side and go, no, we're not talking about this, it collapses. They have nothing to do. And you just can't – it's so tempting to argue with people. And the really smart trolls know how to make it sound almost like you could have an argument with them. Like, there's almost enough good faith that you're like, I could – maybe I could have – no, that's not what they're there for. They're there just to – drive you nuts. They're not there to have any kind of good faith conversation. It's the ones who come in with the semi-literate text speak spelling, you know.
Yeah, especially in WoW. If you actually spell everything correctly, I'm probably going to at least, you're going to at least get my attention.
Yeah, I mean, when it's just...
because that's so rare.
When it's just like caveman texting, you're like, I'm getting some bad energy off this, but I don't really fucking care, because, well, do you even walk upright? What is this?
How is Babby formed? How is Babby formed? How girl get pregnant? They need to do way in stain mother. Who killed the other babbies? Because these babby cat fricks back?
And you just, you know, you ban it, you delete it. It's the people who actually seem to put some intelligence into it that it makes you sad that they're bothering.
That they're using their intelligence and their powers for evil?
Basically. I mean, I was about to say, yeah, here's your powers for evil. But, you know, it's like this guy, it makes me happy when I can make someone angry. I feed off their anger. And you just kind of go,
your anger makes me more powerful.
Shutting down the buffet. Sorry. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
Yeah, there's two coping strategies I've started to implement in Warcraft. One is when somebody starts sexually harassing me, I pretend I'm a gay man. Whew, gone. Because there's a guy on several fucking characters over and over again in Stormwind. You're hanging out, you're on a female character, this guy, there's you can right click on somebody's portrait and you can either inspect their gear or you can invite them to a group, okay? And they're one right next to the other. So it's happened before where I've tried to, like, you know, inspect somebody and I've invited them to a group accidentally. This guy, different characters over the past 2 years, same MO every time. If I'm on a female tune, he's going to invite me on a group and say, LOL, sorry, bro, I was just trying to inspect. Oh, well, you're probably a guy anyway. You know, every time. Like, he's waiting for them to say, no, I'm a girl, and then he'll start, like, you know, being all gross and shit, right? Yeah. So I always pretend I'm a gay man whenever they start sexually harassing me. Because, boy, does that shut them down. Because what do those little 12-year-olds fear the most? Homosexuals.
Another penis!
Ah, run! And then also, I started a policy a couple months ago because I got real fucking sick of this shit.
Oh, yeah. I remember this one.
So many times people would say fag and LFR in a random dungeon or whatever. And I got so fucking tired of it that not only would I ignore them, not only would I report them for language, but I started donating $1 to the NoHateCampaign.com. Every time somebody said fag and LFR. There was one day where I had to donate $3. And I am as surprised I'm not broke yet as you are.
I was going to say, seriously, can you really afford that? I'm not sure I can afford that.
I think I've given a grand total over the past 2 months about $6, which is a lot lower than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
It's mostly just like, you know, it's mostly just like noob, asshole, baddie, that sort of thing. But when you start saying fag, it's like, I G-kicked a guy. I got a guy into my guild and he was a really good tank and I thought he was awesome. And then he started saying fag left and right. And, you know, it's unnatural. And God made a penis and a vagina for a reason before he was like halfway through that sentence. Like,
well, how'd that come out? How'd that come up?
Right? Like, wow. And it was such a shame because he was such a good tank and I thought we were going to have a decent person in the guild. No, yeah, you're gone. Last I checked, nobody else in Thunderhorn would take him, so he had to start his own guild with only 2 people in it.
Yeah. It's probably another guy, too.
No, I think it's one of his alts.
Have you heard that saying that homophobia is men being afraid that gay men will treat them the way they treat women.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and that's basically why.
And 9 times out of 10, it's just a repression thing, too. Because seriously, how many loud homophobes have there been in the public eye where they've been caught having a homosexual affair or something? How many times? It's the loudest ones, you know. What is that quote that I said to you earlier that I told you to remember, George?
Because it was I don't know exactly how you said it, but here's how I interpreted it. The people who scream the loudest are the ones who usually don't have the closest thing to a fucking clue what they're talking about.
No, it was the ones who are the loudest are usually the first, are usually the ones who are hiding something so big they have to shout over it or something.
No, it wasn't.
No, but I just came up with that too, and that's pretty good.
Okay. That, you know, works.
A lot of people who espouse traditional family values and shit like that end up having, you know, affairs, you know, and cheating on their wives, whatever.
Well, and I won't even necessarily say it's 9 times out of 10 that they're hiding that, but there's just so many dude bros who, I mean, that to me, that's what the homophobia is of, like, I know how I treat women and, you know, can't have any gay guys around here treating me like that. I think it's that kind of fear.
Plus, you're that much of an asshole. Was it T-Pain who said, like, on his Twitter, like, you know, hey, if you're going to be that much of a dickbag that even women aren't attracted to you, what makes you think a gay man is going to? It was awesome.
I saw that, yeah.
That was kind of beautiful. I don't know. So anyway, but I want to hear about this whole, like, there was one story that really hooked me, and it was by this guy. Oh, what the fuck's his name? It says like Trainer's Eye or whatever.
That's his blog.
The meeting the troll story, and this is from September of last year, and he started getting harassed on Twitter. Actually, you know what? I want you to tell this story because I've been talking too goddamn much.
I saw this when this first went around in September, and it's just this really amazing story. You really don't expect it to end the way it does, but it's this guy, and he starts getting harassed on Twitter, and a lot of the harassment is anti-Semitic, and they start sending him messages, dirty Jew type. I won't even go into all of it, but that's the general gist of it. They start harassing his wife.
That's the part that pissed me off.
I'm reading from the blog entry. She received a direct message stating, "Your husband is scum, rotten bastard, and you're a whore."
It's the part where he gets the package that made him physically ill.
Well, and he gets a package. It's a Tupperware lunchbox full of ashes. And the note says, "Say hello to your relatives from Auschwitz."
I can't even. I'm already, again, like, crying. That's so.
Yeah. 2 days later, he says, "I opened my front door and there was a bunch of dead flowers with my wife's old Twitter username on it. That night, I received a direct message. You'll get home someday and your bitch's throat will be cut and your son will be gone."
I can't get past that ashes thing. That's just really.
That's like just horribly creative. Like, wow, you put that much thought into being that big an asshole. That's kind of amazing. The one that finally was the last straw for him was, "I hope you die screaming, but not until you see me piss on your wife." Now, I want you to keep all of that in mind when you find out who this was. He gets a friend who's in IT, and they start trying to trace the guy. So, it says it transpired that the abuse had emanated from 3 separate IP addresses in different corners of Ireland. That's where he lives. 2 of them were public Wi-Fi locations, but the third location was the interesting one. The third location was a friend's house. The troll was his son. His 17-year-old son.
The friend's son, not the guy's son, obviously.
Yeah. And, like, he'd known this kid, like, as the kid was growing up. Like, he knew him. And that just amazes me, because so many of these troll stories are, "These people aren't real to me. I just want to make them mad. I just want to get a rise out of them." I'm like, oh my god, you know this guy. How could you do this? And in retrospect, it makes sense, because, I mean, it's terrifying that somebody could find this guy's house, would hate him enough to travel wherever, track him down, and leave 2 different things on his doorstep, and then you go, oh, it's this guy's friend's son who's in town. Oh, okay. That at least explains, you know, how that happened. And so he says he talked to the parents, who were like, "Do you want to call the police? Because we will support you if you want to call the police on our son. We understand. That's horrible." So he says, "No, let's go." It looks like they went out for tea is what happened, because this is Ireland. And
so beers.
Yeah. I was going to say out for lunch, but no, they went out for tea, and, you know, the boy comes with them, and he says, "Well, do you still like chocolate chip cookies?" And he's like, you know, he nods, you know, and he says, a shadow of the little boy was still flickering across his face. And they just sit and talk, and the guy talks about his recent illnesses and different things, and, you know, a very humanizing kind of conversation. And then he opens his bag and he takes out this manila folder full of screen caps and printouts, and shows them pictures of the ashes and the dead flowers, and looks over at the kid. And the kid just bursts into tears. And his dad kind of holds him down, says, you know, don't leave. And the guy's like, why? Why would you do this? And he just sits there for a moment and says, I don't know. I'm so sorry. It was like a game thing. Which is, quote unquote, it was a game thing. But which is kind of what you see with these other stories of people who didn't know their troll victims. at which point you go, okay, this kid probably really needs some help if he's having that kind of detachment with somebody he knows in real life. But it really is that kind of... It's like if you're thinking of it in terms of the bad energy that somebody is throwing at you, when you realize how detached they actually are, probably, from the situation, it just really helped me to think of, to like recontextualize what was coming at me, or what could be coming at me, what was coming at me. I mean, it's still awful, and it needs to stop, and it needs to be taken care of, but I personally was a little better able to deal with the thought of it.
Well, you're talking about this kid and feeling some level of, like, almost sorry for him. But I mean, it was so deliberately vile. Yeah, he probably does need help, this kid, but... In the same breath, just when the trolls, they don't see us as actual people, when we're faced with that kind of abuse, we don't really humanize them either. Because, I mean, who wants to empathize with somebody who's being so vile to you? I have this book by Mr. Rogers, right? All these quotes, well, it's not by Mr. Rogers, it's all these quotes of Mr. Rogers. And one of them was... In the beginning, his wife was talking about, well, his widow was talking about the kind of person he was, where, like, she'd get so pissed off at some guy who was being a total, like, asshole to her, or she'd get pissed off at somebody who was being a jerk to Mr. Rogers, and he'd be like,
"Those people exist."
Yeah, yeah, but well, remember the guy who stole his car?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
They brought it back though.
But he said, "But I wonder what kind of day that person was having." You know, he would always try to find, like, some way to find humanity in people who were deliberately trying to dehumanize you. And that's why Mr. Rogers is better than anybody else who's ever lived. But it's hard to live up to that sort of thing sometime, because my reaction to this kid, even though he was sorry and even though he's clearly got mental problems, I just locked onto that Auschwitz thing. And I have so many Jewish friends, and I can't fathom. That's like the most disgusting thing you could do to a Jewish person is to... Give me a minute.
Well, let me put it this way. The thing I locked onto in that story, it wasn't the fact that, you know, he did the Auschwitz thing, which was terrible.
That was, I'm, okay, I'm somewhat, I'm somewhat composed. I just, you can't deliberately do that and not know what you're doing. And I'm sorry, but that was like just the worst fucking... I can't fathom that mind. I can't do it. I would have put the kid in jail. I don't think I would have found it in myself to forgive him. So that guy's a better man than... I was about to say a better man than I am. Clearly.
Something you need to tell us, Dana?
Shut up, George.
No, I agree. I would have put the kid in jail. Not because, you know, that was the most horrible thing I've ever seen said. Because it's not... It's a terrible thing. It's always going to be a terrible thing. It's the fact that this kid was clearly a sociopath.
Well, and let me read you the end of the story, because I keep forgetting that maybe y'all don't have the... The end of it was, you know, the kid's mother reiterates, you know, if you want to call the police, we'll support you. And says in front of her son, "I'm ashamed of him." And he says, "Good. I'm not criminalized. I might have called him. I'm not criminalizing a 17-year-old kid and ruining his future, but I will write about this, and you must guarantee me that he'll go and see a counselor, or I will call the police." He says, "Then I got up to leave. I looked the troll in the eye, and I said, 'Stand up.' I said, 'Look at me. I'm a middle-aged man with a limp and a wheeze and a son and a wife that I love. I'm not just a little avatar of an eye. You're better than this. You have a name of your own. Be proud of it. Don't hide it again.'" Now shake hands. I'm sorry, he said, and he looked like he meant it. And the reason that was so amazing to me was that I honestly don't know that I would have let that kid go. I don't know. I mean, that was such an amazing thing for that man to reach out to this kid. And I hope it did him some good. That seriously was one of the most disgusting acts of trollery I've ever heard of. And to me, it's not so much about letting the kid off the hook in terms of having read this story and the stories of all these other trolls. It's like in trying to dehumanize people, they're trying to make themselves so much bigger. And we all fear them like they're so much bigger. But if you start trying to think about what is really going on with these people and how, you know, where these words are coming from and these sad little games they're playing and how they're not literal threats necessarily with that weight behind it, that cuts them back down to size again. And it made me less afraid personally to know that that's what's going on with 99% of these people.
Well, you said, like, that whole thing about, like, the guy was like, you're better than this. That's the exact same thing I said to my dad when he started doing that political bullshit about the Boston Marathon on Facebook. And we started private messaging each other back and forth where he yelled at me for saying, is like, hey, I don't like this comment. Shut the fuck up, okay? And I'm like, no, because you didn't raise me that way. You didn't raise me to, you know, not say anything in the face of, you know, bullshit like that. And he's like, well, yeah, but you don't do it to me. And then he said something like, and, you know, he's like, I've been having a shitty day and I don't want to hear your crap. And I'm sitting there trying to argue like, but, you know, I'm not the kind of person who's going to back down from that, even if it's my father. And especially if it's my father, you need to know when you're wrong. And he's like, and then he started getting really pissy with me. And you know, and then he's like, and you didn't even ask me why I was having a bad day. So I gave it a few minutes and I texted him. I said, okay, look, I'm not going to be that kind of asshole. You know, I'll shelve this for a moment. And, you know, I'm like, okay, so what happened? It turns out he's having a whole bunch of shit go down with his ex-wife. And then he got racist about her new boyfriend, started that all over again. And I'm just like, I know you're having a bad day and she's being a total bitch face, but you can't. And he's like, I don't want to hear a lecture. And I'm like, but you need to. So I'm sitting here torn between like, I know he feels bad, but it's when is it more important to, am I having like the wrong battle here? Should I be caring more and not trying to, I don't know. I can't understand people who have hate in their hearts.
You're having the right battle. You're just doing it at the wrong time because he's not going to listen.
I can't understand people. I mean, it's just so, like, I can't, my therapist is like, I have to pick my battles a little bit better. But at the same time, isn't there some shit you just shouldn't back down from? I don't know when to back off. I admit this very freely, where out of everybody in this household, I'm probably the loudest and most outspoken.
Yes.
And very quick to anger. I acknowledge this. But sometimes things are really that important. I don't tolerate racism. I don't tolerate homophobia, Islamophobia, misogyny, you know, political, anything that minimizes another human being, which is why trolling gets to me. I can't stand people who dehumanize other people through any kind of bigotry. I cannot fucking tolerate it. And that's why this entire week has gotten to me and gotten me to the point where I need to just step the holy fuck away from the internet. And I also want to take this moment to say that because I don't want to say picky, but because I have those standards, thank you to every single one of my friends, because none of you are the kind and our listeners, because as far as I can tell, none of you are the kind of person who would ever dehumanize somebody else. You're the kind of people who don't have hate in your hearts, and you are all beautiful, wonderful, precious people. And there need to be more people like you. And if you ever stop to think that, you know, if you're having a horrible day, or if you think that, you know, nobody gives a shit about you or whatever, think about how fucking precious I just said you are and how important you are, because you are a person who cares.
We're all kittens in baskets holding cupcakes being
stop.
Held by Will Wheaton.
Oh, stop. Yeah. George is trying to cheer me up, and he's like, okay, think of Will Wheaton holding a basket of kittens, and the kittens are holding cupcakes. And I'm just like, oh, man. It was a good try, George. I gotta give you that. That was well played.
No, we really do appreciate you, because we know, look.
Our listeners are best listeners.
They are. They really are.
And my friends.
And it's especially proven by the fact that we haven't gotten hate mail since, what, episode 6?
Someone called me a dyke. Awesome. I was like, well, if you insist, I mean, you know.
But you're nowhere near a fjord.
Would you, George? Anyway, so, Cleo, really, the best thing I could say is, like, you know, when... I'm asking you for your advice and to advise everybody else. When we're faced with all this negativity, what's the best thing we can do, even if we're sitting there going like, well, but it's important to stand up to this crap or nothing? See, because I'm of the mind, yeah, it's good to walk away and to not expose yourself to this shit, but is there anything we can do to make any kind of change online? When do we stand up and when do we walk away? That's the problem I'm having, and what I think a lot of people are having.
And I think you do have to stand up. And I think you definitely – and I've had to say to people, you know, in real life, you know, like, what kind of joke is that? Like, seriously, did you just say that? Really? Oh. And it usually involves some just kind of mild shaming where you just kind of go, what is wrong with you? Why would you say that? And so I think the situation you were talking about, I don't think that fight was ever going to go well.
No,
at any point. And you had to have it. And hopefully the fight will really do its work when he thinks about it later.
No.
I'm an optimist. I'm an optimist.
Yeah.
But
sorry.
I think it was important for you to have, even knowing that maybe it won't do any good, I think for your own sake, you had to have had it.
I think the point that I was trying to get across was, I think the only thing that would have worked right there was, you didn't raise me to be this kind of woman.
I think that was, I mean, that was good.
That's an important point that he needs to occasionally remember.
I know. I mean, I do stupid shit too, but I try not to get to a point where it lessens other people, you know?
I would just say you kind of have to look at your surroundings and say, like, oh my God, I hate Fox News so much. But, you know, it's not my house and I don't have control over that. So I have just been kind of, don't you want to watch different? I don't watch it. I stay away from that. I don't read the bottom half of the internet.
That's when I need to get you a Game Boy so you can just tune that shit out. And some really good headphones. I gotta find some good headphones.
Oh, if I'm not downstairs, I don't have to listen to that shit. I'm not even fussed about that if I'm not downstairs. But there's a certain amount of awfulness and inhumanity that you're going to come across. So why not minimize that? Like, you know, don't unnecessarily torment yourself, which is why I have set up these filters, because I'm like, maybe I don't. And it's not that I have people who are awful. It's that they have causes that are very important to them, and just sometimes you can't deal with all of them. Sometimes you just can't deal with how awful everybody is, and you just don't necessarily want to hear about it today. So I have the filters to just kind of protect myself to be like, what can I deal with today? Here are three or four different levels of it. Okay. But when you are faced with something in your own front yard, I mean, I can't remember. I usually am pretty gentle when I tell people, you know, let's not use that kind of language around here. You know, I don't want to hear, you know, we're not going to, I'm trying to think of an example. I mean, usually it would be like a misogyny thing, but it's like, yeah, let's not talk to each other that way. Or it's like, yeah, we're not going to use that tone here. Sorry. You know, if you want to keep talking, then you're going to have to be civil. Sorry, we're going to play nice on this playground. Sorry. So I think you do have to step in. And this is also where the moderating ability of we're cutting off the opposition comes from, where it's like, okay, look, then we're just not going to do this. We're going to stop this conversation. We're not going to let it get any worse. It's not happening here.
So it's basically when you can't control the situation, walk away, and when you can do, or when you can control it, control it.
When you have any influence, because it's, I don't even think it's a matter of control. I think that's maybe even hoping
to. Okay, influence, fine.
You have any kind of influence or effect. If there's anything you can do, I do think you need to do it. I do think you need to speak out. And having spoken, I think you then need to cut the situation off and be like, and we're done here. There is no arguing this. There is no devil's advocate. There is no, but I have the right to say this and you can't censor me. Nope, we're not having that. And I think it's that combination of speaking out and firmness. Again, and this has to be your territory. It doesn't work on somebody else's blog.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, it's about curating your own space and making your own space as civil and human as you can. And my, you know, people who come to my journal have more than met me halfway. I have so rarely been tested.
I've known you for 5 years. I still don't know what the hell you look like. Met you.
We will get you down here one day, Missy.
There's meeting me and there's meeting me halfway. These are two phrases. You can
I thoroughly expect you to be purple.
People do. Or Galadriel. I hate to disappoint you. I'm not a palace cat either. It's going to be rough. Emily can vouch for me. In fact, I'm surprised she didn't show you pictures. She has
But it wasn't her place, so she didn't. But I feel that if I ever were to present you with a red panda in one hand and a palace cat in the other, you would just sort of stop altogether from the cute.
And also, I wouldn't have hands. My face off. You know, but I mean, again, I feel kind of bad sitting here saying, and this is what you have to, like, I've ever really been tested. I have not had anywhere near an inkling of the harassment that people like Anita Sarkeesian and Kathy Sierra and all of these people who basically got chased off the internet. You know, I've never had to deal with anything like that. I'm talking more from the perspective of, I have managed to cultivate this quiet little garden space, and I don't want to tempt fate, but this is how we managed to do it.
Well, let's be fair. The worst people you've ever pissed off were Twilighters.
And not a whole lot of them either. But what fandom was it that I was so afraid of? I was so afraid they were coming after me, and I can't remember who it was now.
The Joss Whedon fans, I guarantee you.
Jesus Christ, yes, it was them.
I knew it.
And you know what? I don't even want to go into the whole actual thing, but on that one week that my blood pressure was so
high. The Avengers.
Week
I'm so sorry.
About the Avengers. And I discussed we all discussed the civility out of that. I mean,
oh, my God. Oh, Lord.
Something like 800 comments.
Oh, I need to hug you.
So help me God, it was civil right up until 4 or 5 days into it.
Yeah.
And some dude off Facebook showed up and started cursing me out, and I was like, look how long this lasted. You are why we cannot have nice things.
Lasted longer than I thought it would.
Lasted longer than it had any right to. But you know, I mean, so help me, we lasted that long. Something like 800 comments.
That's a testament to your strength, my dear.
And also to, you know, comic fans who are tired of this bullshit.
Ugh.
Well, and to it was a lot of my long-timers who very civilly disagreed with me and were going to, this was the hill they wanted to die on. That was the hill. And I was like, oh.
But they did it respectfully.
And that is fine with me. See, this isn't in any way about suppressing and censoring discussion and exchange of ideas. You know, if I don't like your opinion, I don't have to reply to you. You know, it's because there have been times.
It's like I said earlier, is nobody owes you, nobody on the internet owes you the right to let you abuse them.
You know, and
nobody.
There are people who come in and they have opinions that I just kind of go, oh, well, huh. That's a thank you for informing me of this. I'm glad to hear it. You hate everything I love. That's good times. Okay. And you just let it go because in a way ignoring something is the biggest power you have. And I think in terms of battling trolls, ignoring them really is the biggest power you have. That's the one thing they don't want. And, I mean, not the people who disagree with you are trolls, but it's a similar kind of, you don't have to answer them. You don't have to convince anybody of anything. You just keep moving. And,
you know, I think maybe if we change the terminology, we might get rid of some of them. Because they're not trolls. You know, they're not living under a bridge in Seattle. Maybe if we called them imps, because that seems more what they are.
I don't think you're going to fix it anytime soon, dude. Besides, that's offensive to warlocks.
Couldn't even say that with a straight face, could you?
No, I'm sorry. So, Cleo, do you want your $80 now or later? Because my therapist charges me $40 an hour, so.
That's all?
I have a really... Well, I'm through like some discount you have no insurance program thing that I had to file like 20 pounds of paperwork for.
Maybe mine rips me off because I only see her 4 times a year, but my God, that is a...
Do you have insurance? Because that's why.
I'd be why. Okay. Yeah.
Because when I had insurance, mine was costing me $120 an hour. That's when I had a job.
Yeah, it's...
So that was a while ago.
We're talking like, you know, insurance therapy price shop here. Oh, I had some thought.
Did it hurt?
It ran away.
Oh, well.
I told a friend of mine, you know, I'm going to be doing a podcast tonight in case you're, you know, trying to get hold of me. And she said, oh, what's it about? I said, well, it's about trolls. And she said... Well, if this would help you, I can get you a picture of, she used to live in Seattle, of the troll. I was like, not that kind of troll. different kind of troll. Different kind of troll. But so, George, when you said that, I was like, yeah, she would really be helpful with that.
Well, I know about the troll.
I know what
in
you're
Seattle.
Talking about. Yeah. I didn't know until an hour ago.
I think if we just get that dog picture that you told me about, please, for the love of God, find that after we stop recording.
Oh, I've got like 3 copies of it somewhere. I love that dog. If you just imagine that dog war garbling at you.
Okay.
I use it as a verb. I love it.
Wargle bargle?
War garble. You know, just if you can laugh, if you can just... And you know, I don't even want you to think I'm saying to let them off the hook. At all, But just instead of seeing it as this great, big, giant, powerful evil, it's this sad, mundane, you know?
Yeah. Or even, have you seen the Swedish Chef Ramsay thing on Tumblr?
Today?
Where it's just like she's yelling at some poor cook just going, bork, 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 bork.
The bork is so bork that the bork borks. There's the chicken in the last one.
I didn't even notice the chicken to the last one. The chicken's in all of them, and it's hysterical. Maybe I'll use that. I don't even know. I can't find the dog. Do I use the dog or do I use the Swedish Chef? Vote now.
Oh,
just imagine Swedish Chef Ramsay, you know, on the other side of the screen. Take the troll comment and rewrite it with bork. Actually do that.
I am so tempted to do that during raid chat. When somebody starts being an ass, I'm so tempted to just go bork.
There's
bork,
like
bork,
a there's like a translator online where you can, you know, and it'll give you different dialects, and Swedish Chef is one of them. I mean, you can run it through. You can disembowel it. I'm sure you can.
No, I'm gonna try that next time I run through LFR. I'm just gonna go bork 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 when somebody starts getting really pissy. Anybody else on Warcraft, please steal that.
Please. Start a thing.
We need to start a thing.
Oh god, we're turning into cats.
Oh my god, I've got to tell my guild master. He's going to love it. Like, Val, we have a new policy.
The girl with the braces, Ermagerd. I mean... Just rewrite everything as that. And
I think they'd go for it. I want to try starting that in my guild. Because you know what our guild motto is. It's derping towards adventure. So we're not quite super serious.
Yeah. I just imagine what happens when Traythor walks in.
Bork, 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 bork. I gotta do that. Oh my god. I'm gonna tell him about that tomorrow. It's fantastic.
Before we go, let me go ahead and share my opinions on trolling, because I've been kind of quiet this episode.
It's been 2 hours, bro, so you better like...
I've been kind of lucky in that the websites that I've chosen to join that have forums have been filled with some very, very smart people and some very, very opinionated people. So when we would get the occasional troll, I believe our reaction was, A, the fuck you, or B, a 10-page dissertation on why the fuck they were wrong. Now, sometimes that works. Usually it just scares them off, but hopefully they learn something. But when it hasn't worked, that's been when we have the most fun, because we realize we're not dealing with intelligent individuals. We're dealing with dumbwits. And dumbwits are so easy to fuck with. It's not even... actually, it's really funny. Here's the thing. Trolls are so easily trolled, it's amazing.
See, I can't bring myself to sig to that level. I can't do it. It's like when people ninja loot from me, it's like I can't even do it back, you know? I can't do it.
This is why I played a rogue so well. Because I can backstab. But anyway, no, it's just... Realize that the person on the other end of the computer is also a human being. And that they will just... They're either trying to get a reaction or they're trying to get attention. Most of the time, they're just trying to get attention. And if they're trying to get attention, the best way to do it is either to A, ignore them, and they'll go away. Or if they keep coming, if they're persistent, use the verbal equivalent of raid on them.
Which is?
Be as polite about why they are so fucking wrong, and do it for as long as humanly possible. As long as you can keep it up, if it goes pages and pages and pages on an internet forum, you're doing it right.
Bork, 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 bork.
Or sometimes just bork, 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 bork. If you're on Warcraft, that's probably going to work better. Like, most of my experience is from forums. So I can't really talk about MMOs or video game, Xbox
now,
or anything like that.
I have amassed a huge folder of, like, animated... Do we say GIF or GIF? I can't
Look,
even...
I got into this argument with Wes. He says GIF, and I said, no,
it's
that's
GIF.
The peanut butter.
Yeah, GIF
I know
peanut
that the people who created the format pronounce it GIF. I don't care.
There's a... Well, okay. There is no G-E. Let's put it that way.
Well, GIF is a peanut butter. GIF is a picture.
Animated pictures. Mm-hmm. Animated image representation. Macro.
What Tumblr is made up of?
That is exactly. So I have the lifeblood of Tumblr stored in a folder. Someday.
I literally just looked this up. The graphics interchange format.
It's GIF, yes.
Well, now I have to convince my sister and her boyfriend of that. this is an argument in our house.
Write a 10-page dissertation.
So that it'll
bork, 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 bork. I think we have a title for this episode.
Nerfs. So, you know, just hit them back with a macro. Like, you don't even care enough to come up with words. It's just something, you know, kittens or something falling off a table or a hot guy or someone making
hot
a face.
Guys falling off of kittens.
What? Yeah.
Or, you know,
episode
if you're a Doctor Who fan, David Tennant in Journey's Stolen Earth, when he finally sees Davros again. No spoilers, by the way. After all this time, after all these years, I only have one thing to say to you. What's that? Bye.
But just come up with some creative, like, you know, bork bork or bunch of pictures. Something that makes you laugh even as you're doing it.
Yeah. Have some fun with it. Don't... I know it's supposed to drive you mad. It's supposed to make you angry.
It does!
I
mean, again, I feel like I'm tempting fate by acting like I know how to handle this. Because as sure as somebody hears this, challenge accepted, and here it comes.
We can send you to boot camp. We'll, you know... We'll give Jason your email address.
No. Those two are the last two people on the face of the planet who should ever meet.
Yes.
Just,
yeah,
no.
I'm going to guess you're right about this.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. This is the man who invented the Poop Tracker 9000, so let's just keep him the fuck away from the nice,
yes,
mannered southern... gentle lady.
I am a lady, goddammit.
You can't... Oh, God. Sorry, I just... In my head with the... Can we log off now, please?
I don't know, I'm kind of having fun picturing Cleo and Jason.
Ah, okay.
Purple Galadriel. just imagine Purple Galadriel. Just move it right off me.
I'm picturing strawberry.
For fuck's sake, George. Cleo?
Thank you for being on this month.
I'm going to watch George.
Bork, bork, bork!
This has been episode 64 of Made of Fail. You can comment on our episodes at madeoffail.net. Everybody have a bork, bork.
Bork, bork, bork. Bork, 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 bork.
Hello, listeners. It's your editor, Devin. Do you have questions, comments, thoughts on the Copyright Protection Act of 1998? Please come to madeoffail.net and share. madeoffail.net.
somebody took a photo of their TV, and it's a Fox local affiliate, and they've got the captioning on, and it's a picture of the guy they just caught, and it says, the captioning says, "Marathon bombing, he is 19-year-old Zooey Deschanel." Because the guy's name started with, like, a DZ something, and the captioners apparently just gave the fuck up and just were like...
Fired, but worth it. It's just...